Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bienvenue! Bienvenue! Madame, Monsieur, Pascal. I watched Ross Noble last night, I did. I'm Gary YouTube from Cultaholic. Can I go in?
I'm supposed to be seeing Ross Noble in May, but I don't think it's probably going to happen.
I don't think
now.
It's going to happen, Sam. No. I've got no idea. I think it's from Les Miserables, that.
I have no
Les Miserables.
Sonic Waffle, though.
Dennis.
For anybody that's never seen Ross Noble, check out Sonic Waffle. It is one of my favourite stand-ups.
His dad taught me guitar.
He did, yeah.
Oh, fantastic scenes. Anyway, I'm Gary YouTube from Cultaholic. He's also a Gary YouTube from that there Cultaholic YouTube channel. And we're here to do some Gary YouTubing in the form of a tier list. This one was already made on the Tier Maker website, and we've got a bit of a smarky boots on our hands.
We do, yeah. Yeah,
not only have we got the SABCD, but we've also got two additional tiers. One says Jobber and one says X-Packy. And by the way, we're speaking about the Ruthless Aggression Era. Or sorry, Ruthless Aggression. Here, slap. Hit the intro. So yes, we're going to stick things in different tiers depending how we feel about them.
We're going to stick things in other things.
We're going to stick carrots in our arseholes and sing some songs until the cows come home. It's not based on logic. It's not based on facts. It's based on your basic bloody bitch opinion how you feel.
That might cure what's going around that. Carrot up the bum.
Carrot up the bum syndrome.
It might.
Is that the pandemic?
It might be what's happening.
I hope it's over by the time this goes out. Anyway, this is the last thing being recorded before we all go home for the pandemic holidays.
Yeah.
Just like school summer holidays. Albert A-Train. That's who we're kicking things off with.
Underrated talent.
But he's boring, Sam.
Massively underrated talent.
But he's boring,
Massively
Sam.
Massively underrated
he's
talent.
He's a big, impressive-looking man with a lovely hairy back, wouldn't you?
I had a great chant. Shave your back. Shave your back.
Can you imagine, rubbing your face up against his back?
No, one of the WCPW shows after one of Killian Dane's matches, he came back through the curtain, and I remember going like, it was the final night of the entire first 3-day tapings in that warehouse. And I'll never forget, because I was at the desk, I think I'd ran back to get something, and he was in the main event, and so after he came through the curtain, after addressing the fans, I just went, well done, mate!
Oh.
Except, smacked him on the back, and he has a very hairy back.
Squelch.
And it was like imagine waterlogging a carpet and just slapping it. It was proper
Do you reckon they have to
anticipating that.
Do you reckon they have to use head and shoulders on other areas but the head and the shoulders?
Maybe if you want a nice, permy looking,
imagine curl Albert going on in the shower like that. But this man was boring. He didn't have a character. He was Big Show's bitch around the Ruthless Aggression.
This was the problem with Albert. They never really knew what to do with him. So they brought him in as Albert, like Prince Albert. Then they did TNA. Then they did A-Train. Then they did.
Then he went away.
Then he went away. We became Giant Bernard. Then he came back.
Lord
then
Tensai.
Then he was Lord Tensai.
Hip Hop Hippo.
Then he was the Hip Hop Hippo, yeah. And then
now he's God at NXT.
Now he is the guy that stepped in to the Performance Center and is the leading the charge for the future.
But for Ruthless Aggression, Sam, I'm going to take control of this little trackpad here. I'm going to put him there.
Can you define for everybody at home what you're referring to in terms of years for Ruthless Aggression?
Ruthless Aggression, in my humble opinion, is the years 2002 until 2008.
Okay, right.
So what he did...
So this was right before I stopped watching. So this was the final era I watched properly.
So this album, or A-Train, as he was known then, was basically Velocity slash Big Show's Little Friend.
He was main event fodder, yeah.
Big Show's Little Friend. So I'm going to stick with C, but we might change as we get through the list.
Fair.
And next up we have... since that was a thing, hasn't it?
Batista. Sorry, podcast listeners.
We might have to dim the old audio for that little bit, but we might not, because we're bastards. Anyway, Dave Batista, what do you say? He's got the look. He had the... What I'd never get sick of, Sam, is watching him hit a spine buster.
Oh.
And how he would pop up on his feet straight away. Oh. He's like Michael Jackson. Oh.
It's one of those things where, like, you hear about him, not Smokey Mountain, OVW and all that stuff, and it was like... Maybe it wasn't working out quite so well. He was injured a lot. And then all of a sudden, he actually got there, got to the main roster. And then
got injured again.
But then it was just one of those things where Batista was one of the last great. You know when a talent comes from nowhere? Like when you'd have somebody like Brock Lesnar or John Cena just pop in. And then that was it. It was like, Jesus, this is a star. Like a mega star. Like Batista was one of the last ones where they just debut and you're like, oh my God, I need to know everything about this person. They're the best. Like, I loved Batista.
He's fantastic. And his last run, he had more... Is it fair to say more character? Give me what I want, that Batista.
Batista, after some acting classes, has come a long, long way. But he was always good. The slow turn.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just one of those men, you think. If we stop drinking a few beers and whatnot, we could be that.
I know. But part of me just wants to corrupt him and be like, Dave, come for a pint with your cowboy hat and your piercings, come on. And then end up with Dave Fatista, and it'll all be my fault.
We're a pair of Fatistas. Anyway, next up we've got Betty Phoenix, who in this era, I reckon, held up that division with a couple of others.
Yes.
Lay Cool springs to mind. Lita, obviously. Trish sort of went away halfway through. Obviously, right at the start, you had the likes of Jazz, and you had... I guess we'll get onto them later.
But by the time we get to the end, the only main real featured players are Beth Phoenix and the Bellas as they were breaking through.
Mm.
And so I think Beth Phoenix deserves...
I reckon she's going there.
I reckon, yeah, the A-class. The only thing keeping her out of the S-class for me is she never really had a majorly defining moment in my eyes.
She kissed the great Carly. After the Ruthless Aggression era ended?
That's not the sort of moment. But she never really had that main storyline, like, that really pushed her further. Like, I just wish that we could have had that.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I stopped watching wrestling in 2006. Yeah. So the last 2 years of the Ruthless Aggression are very, very vague for me.
Yeah.
Betty Phoenix didn't really come around until after that, did she? That's why I don't really know too
much
about.
She was sort of there and then just sort of bubbled up through that time and then eventually became, like... The Beth Phoenix.
So now we've got Big Daddy V.
And which is S-class, mate. S-class.
ECW champion.
King of the Ring.
That's a different man. That's Mabel. Two different men.
No, they're the same man.
They might be related.
Mabel was kidnapped and turned into Viscera, who was then kidnapped by some sex perverts and turned into Big Daddy V.
I'll never forget when Jack we were speaking about Kane for some reason. I think it might have been on This Week in Wrestling. Jack thought that Kane and Isaac Yankem were the same man, but something had happened to Isaac Yankem to turn him into Kane.
It's like the trauma of his childhood led him to completely forget everything, and he went to dental college.
And then
at some point, like, wound up wrestling and then saw his brother and was like, snap.
But Big Daddy V, managed by, I think, Matt Stryker for a period of time. I think this was very...
It was
much
a sad end this to, wasn't, yeah, to Viscera.
This
here.
Wasn't the world's largest love machine, which was the best version of Viscera. Well, got to be, wasn't it? The world's
largest. Viscera pin you down and dry hump you.
Yeah, trying to get it on with Mrs. Benjamin. I don't know what you say here. Very much cut from the same sort of cloth as Albert and being...
I think it's a C.
Massive... might go down later.
I love Viscera, and I wasn't so much a... Sorry for that pop in there. I did just accidentally right-click. I wasn't so much of a fan of Mabel because I was so young at the time. I wasn't really watching, you know, in the very early 90s. But Viscera, I like, because he just had such a unique look. The white mohawk, the contact lenses, like, the sheer size of him was, like, intriguing when I was younger, and I absolutely loved the Ministry. But, yeah, this was, for me, the sort of sad end of Viscera, because...
And he arguably had the most success here, because...
Yeah, this was a weird thing.
In terms of championships, anyway.
But it was, like, it was just sort of... I was used to him being, like, evil and, like, malicious and malingering and, like, controlling stuff and... But no, at this point, he was just
and that attire,
doing some sexy dancing why with some with some.
No, this is Big Daddy V
with some braces on it.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't do it. Spock.
That's Vader, right? Was it Vader did that? Vader did the Spock
that's
thing.
That's the Penguin from Batman.
Yeah.
Albert Cobblepot. What's it?
Oswald Cobblepot.
Let's move on. Next up, we have the Big Show. Start a ruthless aggression. I think he was being told off for being too much of a fatista.
Yes, they sent him to... Fatista's going to become a thing, isn't he? Get it on a T-shirt. He was sent to OVW, I believe. I think I remember hearing Cornette talk about this. They got him for a while when he was told to go away and lose weight and basically just sort of reinvigorate himself.
Lose those mad titties.
And so, OVW must have been a mental place because sometimes they just bust out, like, Undertaker or Stone Cold on a Christmas card. But, like, getting Booker T, getting Big Show for, an extended run for a couple of months must have been really cool. Like, as a fan that goes to these weekly shows, it must have been awesome.
But then you get to the Arsenal 2002. He beats Brock Lesnar, the next big thing, at Survivor Series 2002, thanks to Paul Heyman. Yep. He then holds that title for a while. Then the next thing I remember from Big Show was being shot by Kurt Angle with a tranquilizer gun and having his head shaved. Remember that? On SmackDown in 2005, maybe? Something like that.
I can't even remember.
Kurt Angle.
You're explaining this to me and I'm like, is this an extended joke? I'm waiting for the punchline and you're just like, is that right? And I'm like...
It was the feud with
Angle. So he's had his dad's body stolen and been shot with a tranquilizer gun.
And while he was knocked out by the tranquilizer gun, Angle shaved his head because when Big Show started growing out his hair a bit more. He obviously had the feud with Cena that culminated at WrestleMania 20, I do believe.
Yeah.
Then he just sort of seemed, from my memory, going off the top of my head, seemed to bounce around random tag teams with Kane and people like that. ECW, he was there for a bit.
I imagine turning every week as well in the process of this.
He just floated around and, you can't put him on the same level those two, but I don't think we're going any higher.
Meh would be C, right? So, he's Big Show. And the problem with Big Show I have is he is some of my earliest wrestling memories because I was a WCW kid. So I remember, the Giant when he was, hitting moonsaults and stuff. And, I remember that Big Show. So I always have a soft spot for Big Show, no matter what. Even if he's in, a Mania, opening match in the pre-show, I'll still watch it because I like Big Show. But, it's one of those things where this wasn't his best time period. But it was slightly better than what's to come, I'd argue.
And slightly better than what was just before, you'd have to say. Because he was just got a bit fat, didn't he, as we sit here. A couple of fatistas. He also had a memorable moment with Brock Lesnar on SmackDown with the bloody the ring collapsing. Was it him and Ray? No, it was him and Ray. When he strapped Ray to the stretcher and then twatted him off the ring post and then dropped Ray on his head.
Yeah, he just swung him like a baseball bat and let go. Yeah.
What a bastard. So next up we have... I hate that theme song. You can run if you want to. I'm Billy Kidman.
You can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance alone, no friends of mine.
It'd be better if it was that. But it wasn't. It was crap. And Billy Kidman, as far as the... I've only got one memory.
This is another heartbreaking thing, because Billy Kidman, for me, was, again, part of my childhood.
He was beating Hulk Hogan.
The shorts, the vest, the shooting star press, that whole angle where he landed on Chavo and couldn't... We discussed this in
that
another
That was the only thing
video,
I can remember. He won the Cruiserweight title, obviously, but also...
Well, he was part of Raven's flock. Yeah. He was some really good character growth in WCW, but by the time he got to WWF at the time, apparently, I remember reading this, Vince just took one look at him and went, lose the shorts. And just wanted him in proper ring
gear. We know what Vince McMahon thinks about shorts, don't we? Pat McAfee and Michael Cole. Or Michael Cole, not Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee was right in the end. Anyway.
Imagine Michael Cole in these schoolboy...
Take off your shorts.
These schoolboy shorts, the proper dress trouser shorts. Just sat at commentary in Saudi Arabia.
With
just
those big
walking down
socks.
The ramp with his little booklets for what's going on in the show like this.
Anyway.
Proper little nerd.
Billy Kidman didn't really do out, did he? I remember him more from Velocity.
He was a horrible casualty of the merge. It was a shame.
But I think he was good, though, wasn't he?
He was great. Billy Kidman was great. I think he works backstage.
Yeah, he still works there now.
He works for the company. But he was one of the big casualties for me personally because, obviously, I loved him as a kid. I loved watching his matches. And then when he came over... there were just so many people, and it was just not enough space for him. I don't know, it was a little bit back and forth.
I think he got blinded. This is just me speaking off the top of my head here.
I remember he got a blinding angle. Yeah.
No, not blinded. I think he got blinded by WWE-isms and Vince McMahon's vision of a superstar.
Oh, okay.
Because Billy Kidman in WCW, my first pay-per-view I remember was Super Brawl 2000.
Right.
And him and Vampiro were having a massive big feud at the time. And it was Liquid Wrestling.
Yeah.
But then he arrives in WWF. Has to get rid of the shorts, but he also bulks up.
Yes.
And I think he lost a bit there as well.
Lost a bit of his charm.
Trying to be a proper WWE superstar.
But he was like an everyman. He was just sort of like a normal looking bloke that could do all this amazing stuff. And the second he starts looking like a superstar, you're not just an everyday man now. Because if you were to sit a WWE superstar between us, even one that was, even Otis, he could probably put his arm out and it's probably all muscle about five times the width of us.
So next up we have Billy Gunn, who in the Ruthless Aggression era, of course, was part of Billy and Chuck. He then went on to have a singles run on SmackDown, which had the Indecent Proposal match with Jamie Noble and Tori, whereby I think if Jamie Noble won the match...
This was the blinded angle I was remembering. Nidhi had been blinded, right?
I tell you what, I went to a house show, WrestleMania Revenge Tour 2004, and a pay-per-view or two before, Jamie Noble and Nidhi had that blindfold match. They then came to Newcastle upon Tyne and did that match step for step, and me and my pal sat in the crowd. Right, we called the match.
You little smarts.
We called the match a move ahead, and we baffled the woman next door to me. It was fantastic. She hadn't got a clue how we knew what was going to happen. Anyway, that happened. I think if Jamie Noble won the Indecent Proposal match, Billy and Tori had to have a foursome with him and Nidia.
I think it was just that he got to sleep with Tori.
Did he?
Yeah.
I remember them all being in that bloody bedroom. But Billy Gunn. Billy and Chuck alone, the absolute limit is that is the
well, this
the
was the thing, was Billy and Chuck was, for the most part, unbelievable. Like, it was the, like, I mean, it played off, like, the stereotypes that the audience were, like, against, and it played off, like, so much in terms of, like, people being anti, like, well, people being homophobic and people being, like, anti just openness and all of this. And then it came crashing down in this horrible, like, pulling the rug out in this violently just manner. And like, I remember at the time it was just, they were such good heels, and then it all just...
Didn't they get an award for the commitment ceremony?
I don't even know.
I think they did.
I know that the one thing that really irked me was that WWE had started a relationship with GLAAD, who were really behind this, because WWE had presented it to them as this like positive storyline, and then like 2 weeks later they busted out the wedding. And it was like, what are you doing? Like, you can't be doing this.
Yeah. Well, he was very entertaining, him and Chuck were. Anyway, moving on to Bobby Lashley. And this was part of the reason I turned off. When you saw Bobby Lashley, Vince McMahon's dream of a wrestler, massive.
He was
no
like a
charisma
robot. Yeah, he was
whatsoever.
Like a robot.
And you're sitting there thinking, I grew up on Austin and The Rock, and now we've got Bobby Lashley, who's really bloody boring.
Lashley always felt to me like, he obviously an incredibly impressive physical like person. Like,
you don't
look
care
at
about
him,
that
he's
when
like
you're 12,
unbelievable
though,
to like the size of him and stuff. He's very imposing. He like looks like he could absolutely snap you in half, which is cool. Looks like a pro wrestler. Absolutely sculpted out of marble, but the whole thing is like
Marvel. Is he a superhero?
Marble. But it always felt like Vince had given him a run of notes, and he went okay, and then went out to the ring and second for second did exactly what he was told. Yeah. There was never any like personality there. Even the Battle of the Billionaires, it just didn't feel like he was. Even when he was, you know, arms around Vince's neck and stuff, like when he's getting shaved.
And also in terms of this tier ranking, in terms of Ruthless Aggression, he was only there for about 2 years, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Like, it feels like he was there a lot longer than he was, which I guess...
Shows how boring he was.
To a degree.
But I
reckon C-tops.
C-tops, maybe even D.
Yeah, I reckon D.
Because you think of what... Battle of the Billionaires was obviously the pinnacle, but ECW champion... I'm struggling outside of that.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of positives there.
But then we have a man who went through one hell of a trajectory. That's a word. During the Ruthless Aggression era, Booker T, when it came out in 2002, was sort of lost in the mix of things. On Raw for a while, he was tag team with Rob Van Dam. Then came that bloody feud with Triple H, People Like You, etc., etc., WrestleMania 19. And you go through 2004... What did he do? He was in another random tag team, wasn't he?
The thing is, though, well, he did the Goldust Booker T stuff, which was great.
Yeah.
I loved the Goldust stuff.
That was 2002, I think.
But, like, the thing with Booker T for me is that he's just so good in ring. I don't think you can take anything
he
away from
him. He does everything, doesn't
he? He's, like, I genuinely sitting here saying he should be about an A.
He's got to be an S, has he not?
Yeah, King, I was going to say.
He rounded off Ruthless Aggression.
He's
got to
be at least an A.
King Booker.
Yeah, King Booker was...
Yeah.
God, my little brother got well into that. He would just... it was that and Dashing Cody Rhodes. Like, he would just spout off catchphrases over and over, just to wind me up, over and over and over again.
So there we have it, Booker T. I think it's deserved to be up there.
Oh, yeah.
I love King Booker, me. So then we got Lesnar. I don't know what you say.
Brock Lesnar is still the final boss of WWE, whether you like it or not. And the whole idea is that you don't like it because eventually, hopefully, one day...
Roman will win!
He's never going to come back and somebody will be made out of that.
That was the thing that was...
Not hopefully he'll never come back, but hopefully somebody will be made out of his last
match. My main takeaway from this year's Royal Rumble match was just, you forget how good he is.
Yeah.
In the midst of all the, you know, he's a bloody...
I'm sort of...
What's the word I'm looking for?
NCAA.
Mercenary.
Oh, he's a mercenary.
He comes in, he takes the title off TV for weeks. But when he's on,
I'm really hoping this year, just because there's no fans, just to stick it to all the fans that hate him. He just busts out the shooting star press just once. Just busts out the big move just once, just to be like, I can still go.
Yeah. So next up, I think is that Candice Michelle?
I think so.
God,
yes.
These pictures are small.
They're so small.
That's Candice Michelle.
We believe it is anyway. We're sorry if it's not.
I remember her dressing up in outfits at Taboo Tuesday.
I don't remember much at all.
She had a wand and she had the three way. She had the bloody stable. Sorry, with Tori Wilson and Victoria and their little Tori had a little dog, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what you say here. She wasn't really obviously a tragic sort of ending bit to her in ring career with a big fall off the top rope. That's horrible when you go back and look at that. And I think she's using that now today to do like motivational speaking and how she sort of bounced back from that. Yeah. So some good came out of that. But
So we got our first jobber then.
I don't think she's a jobber because she was a women's champion. She did, you know, she did.
What? Yeah.
She did have an appeal, but I'm not going to put her near S tier. That's for sure. She's not on Betty Phoenix's level either.
Are she better than Billy Kidman?
No. She might have done more.
That's such a loaded question, though. Is she better than Billy Kidman?
How can
Billy Kidman, who was like amazing for such a long period of his career.
But in terms of what they did during that period,
I
might be doing Candice a disservice.
Next up,
we
have my brother's other favourite thing he liked to do, which is take a bite out of an apple and spit it in my face.
I used to.
you and my brother would get along very well.
I love Collier.
So, yeah, it's Carlito Caribbean Cool.
Caribbean Cool. So some people think they're being cool. Huh? It was obvious that they had
such... I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Yeah, they had such high hopes for this guy. But listen to Brucey P on the MIC, on his podcast not too long ago. Apparently, that Ric Flair promo he cut on Carlito was very much born out of how he was in real life backstage.
Really?
He was lazy and all this malarkey. And he's not reaching for the brass ring and all that malarkey. And apparently, Bruce Pritchard also said that. Well, not apparently. Bruce Pritchard did say this. That apparently, Carlito, in terms of knocking them boots with females, had quite the list.
I remember hearing Pritchard say that he was just like, just sort of like a magnet to women somehow. He was just like...
It's the fro, innit?
But the thing was, like, the other thing I've heard about Carlito is that he is, like, straight up... And I've met him once and interviewed him once. And he is the nicest guy. Like, from everything I've heard, he's, like, super, super nice.
When did you meet Carlito?
Five Star Wrestling, Newcastle Arena, 2016.
I regret not going to that show so much.
But, like, he was more than accommodating. I remember, like, it was like, oh, can we grab you for an interview in a bit? And he was like, yeah, man, sure. He's like, I'll try and bring some people. And then he just came swanning over with John Morrison. And it was like, oh, thanks, man.
The first five-star wrestling champion.
Everything I've ever heard of him, like, apparently he's just the nicest guy. Will do anything for anybody, like, just straight up. Like, just knows that to get ahead in this business, you've got to be nice to everybody. Mm. So it's
but in terms of angles, obviously he had the big WrestleMania.
He stabbed John Cena. Yeah. Well, he didn't stab him. He had Jesus do it for him.
Jesus do it for him, which is fantastic professional wrestling. Yeah. A man stabbed John Cena in wrestling. It's fine. Yeah. Don't go to prison for that.
It's all right. John came back after like 2 days.
But I remember WrestleMania 21, I think, it's when Austin and Piper are in the ring doing their lovely segment. Who comes out and interrupts them? Is it Carlito in it?
Yeah.
I've got a soft spot for Carlito.
I reckon he's B or A.
Just because he didn't reach the heights.
I reckon B, yeah. There wasn't... I think he should have gone a lot further than he did.
But he did still do some stuff.
They still did a hell of a lot with him.
That Elimination Chamber when the Masters of Cool first aligned, like the Mega Powers meet for the first time. Chris Masters and Carlito nearly fight their way to the WWE Championship. And then I think it was Carlito who was like, I just can't do
this. If anybody wants a good laugh as well, on Five Star Wrestling's show from Dundee that they did on Spike UK, I think. That one-off thing they did before they did their big tour.
Where Jomo won the title.
Yeah. Carlito comes walking down to the ring to it. They were up the first match. Or the first segment. And they're all arguing about who's going to be the champion. And he's like, no, I think you're all forgetting who's going to be the champion. The champion's going to be this man. And he's pointing at his chest. And he's wearing a t-shirt that says Chris Masters.
So next up, we have one half of the world's greatest tag team. Put your teeth in, Ross. Charlie Haas. Big Charlie Haas himself.
Charlie Haas.
So that's how he arrived on the scene as part of the world's greatest tag team. Team Angle. And then everything happens. The snowball just keeps going down the hill. He gets all the gimmicks. He does all kinds of things. I really like Charlie Haas, me.
I think he was great. I was really hoping we'd get a Team Angle reunion recently. But
put him higher than Big Show.
I reckon he deserves a spot above Big Show.
Because you wouldn't think he'd do a lot, but he certainly made the most of what he had.
For such a small time in the limelight, he maximised every single opportunity. He was always entertaining, and he always delivered matches.
He did both sides, didn't he? Well, like proper shoot-fighting style with Shelton Benjamin.
He could have been, if he had slightly more range, he could have been the next Angle.
That's a big claim.
Like, if he had slightly more charisma, I think you could have had a lot more entertaining promo work out of him, and the guy can wrestle like a beast. So it's like, if you can combine those two, and if he had those two things, I think it would have been the perfect storm to have him versus Angle eventually, and then passing the torch.
So you're happy with a B?
I'm happy with a B.
I'm a fan of Charlie Haas.
Big old B.
Oh, Chavo! Da, da, da. I love Chavo Guerrero's theme, me. Right, this is a weird one. Obviously, Los Guerreros at the start with Eddie.
Yep.
Then Kerwin White eventually arrived.
Oh,
you know
what was his catchphrase again?
I don't want to say it out loud. You know what's right. Something's right.
Yeah,
I don't know what the catchphrase was.
If it's not something, it's not right.
And then he went to ECW, and then just sort of petered out from there. I think that's the cliff notes of Chavo's ruthless aggression run. Anything sticking out in your head?
I think that's about it.
Yeah. The Los Guerrero stuff was fantastic. So he's not making me feel nothing like the Bobby Lashley's and A-Trains and Viscera's. I think he's in here, isn't he?
He's either bottom of B or top of C.
I'll go bottom of B. Los Guerrero.
Okay, yeah, Los Guerrero's takes him up there.
Anything else to add about Chavo?
No, I think we're good.
So we have Chris Jericho. Obviously started in the world title picture. Sort of up at the Survivor Series 2002. He was in the Elimination Chamber, the first one ever. And then it's sort of a mixed bag, isn't it? 2003, all I remember is the bloody highlight reel, more than actually what he did wrestling-wise. He had the tag team with Christian.
He'd unified the belts in, was it 01?
Yeah, end of 01. So WrestleMania 2002, he lost to Triple H, and he just sort of... 2004, he had the stuff with Trish Stratus and Christian. 2005, he had the feud with Cena at SummerSlam, where he was the big bloody heel. Then he buggered off for a couple
years. Buggered off for a bit.
Well, this is weird for Chris Jericho, isn't it? Because obviously he would have been entertaining all the way through, because it's Chris Jericho. His part in the...
maximises every single second of on-screen time.
But in terms of what else he's done in wrestling, the ruthless aggression, obviously, do we still... Because it was sort of like the very start he was world champion. And then it sort of petered out from there. So you obviously need to take the world championship into account. The tag team of Christian was not widely remembered, is it? But it's still
fondly
good stuff.
Not widely.
The Cena feud was all right, wasn't it? But that was Super Cena being born.
He's bottom of B.
Do you reckon?
At a push.
I think we can't put him any lower because he was still great, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Excuse me. So then we have the other half of the Masters of Cool, Chris Masters, and I'm going to put him...
into... Woo! That's higher than I thought, but all right.
Do you reckon?
The Master Lock Challenge was cool.
Yeah, until Bobby Lashley ruined it.
Until we worked out that it was just a Katahaji May.
I tell you what, I remember saying to Joe Hendry, and I know nothing about grappling me, but I was sitting there thinking, like, watching Master Locks being applied for many, many years, I think that move doesn't hurt that. So Joe Hendry was like, all right.
If you shove the arms up and the neck down, it hurts a lot.
Oh, my God.
My friend.
Joe Hendry put me in that, and I was his bitch for a second or two there.
Yeah, having a trampoline and a brother meant that we would do this stuff all the time. And yeah, when he would just sort of... Yeah, it wasn't good. Wasn't good.
I know it was sort of post. It was more like in the PG era. But he came back for his face run, Chris Masters.
Yes.
How bloody weird that was.
That was strange.
But what do you say? It was just it's there. And
it was he was a very talented place. He was a big body guy. I mean, like, look at him sculpted out of marble, as most people are.
And you did hate him because of that. He didn't make you feel nothing.
Yeah, but he was good at making you hate him.
Yeah,
like
this team.
But I don't think I think he's good at that. But I don't think he's like Mr. Kennedy levels of good.
Oh no, absolutely.
So I think like he's like the tier below a Mr. Kennedy.
I think that. What more do you need to say about Chris Masters? Next up, Sam, I'm going to do this without even speaking.
Who's that?
It's Christian. Christian in 2004/5 should have been world champion.
He's not Edge. Get him in the bottom.
No! When he had that waterproof blonde theme that peeps everyone loved him.
I was never a Christian guy.
Oh, my. He was fantastic.
My brother loved him. I wasn't so...
Him and Tomko.
I wasn't a Tomko guy.
Show me a more... What's the phrase? A more iconic... couple or whatever I don't know what to say. Christian was fantastic.
Christian in a nutshell is amazing though.
Take a trip through the Ruthless Aggression 2002, At Last You're On Your Own was sort of a thing, tag team of Chris Jericho. 2003 she was more Intercontinental. Judgment Day 2003, was it Judgment Day or the one with the orange big scaffoldy tron? He won the Intercontinental Championship.
Either Armageddon or Judgment
was
Day.
Was it Armageddon? It might be Armageddon, but he won the Intercontinental Championship there. Obviously necked on with Trish at WrestleMania 20, coming out of that, this is when he should have been world champion with the peeps and whatnot. I maintain that. And obviously by 2007, I think it was, he was out the company and then being the NWA world champion in Impact Wrestling.
And then we had, Christian.
ECW.
Silence.
Is that too high? Do I put him down one?
I think Christian, in terms of his legacy, deserves that spot.
You know what? I'd love Christian me. So next up we have Chick Magnet Punk.
Chempeng.
Chempeng.
This was during his meteoric rise, and there is only one slot for that. Otherwise, you will have your address leaked by some viewer, and your house will be burned down. I think you know where he's got to go.
Hey.
Ooh! I would...
The cut-off point, remember, Sam, is 2008.
Oh, right, yeah, then, eh? Yeah. he hasn't really had time to do much there, has he?
He got the world title, then they took it away from him when they had him beaten up before a show.
Yeah.
Obviously, Straight Edge Society, Summer of Punk, that all came after.
What more do you need to say?
Yeah. What more do you need to say, Sam? Yeah. I thought you were going to put more of a
banging theme.
Yeah. Banging theme, yeah.
This fire burns. Eddie, there's no point even discussing that. Eddie Guerrero goes to the Super. Edge goes into Super.
Oh, then we've got the Pope.
We've got the Pope, okay.
Do we have the first one?
I think we have the first jobber in the Pope, yep.
The Pope is so charismatic. But what... as I say, I wasn't really watching ECW, so there's probably WWECW diehards, if that's a thing, watching this video saying, what are you talking
all
about
six
the Pope?
Of them.
What are you talking about the Pope like that for? But, you know.
Yeah.
Anything to say about the Pope?
No, like, it's just one of those things. I never really... got away with WWECW, and I never really, outside of pay-per-view, saw much of it. So I couldn't really tell you much about the weekly ins and outs. But, yeah.
So next up we have Eugene.
Obviously, went into a successful career with Impact, which isn't to be sniffed at.
Now he's in NWA, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
think so.
Good for him.
Yeah.
But this is in terms of what he did in the Ruthless Aggression. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Next up we have Eugene. A gimmick that is aged
one of
like
the most
milk.
Insensitive gimmicks ever invented. And the worst part is people like Bischoff and Pritchard will defend it to the death as like, no, he's just like a savant. It's like, no.
No, it's not.
When he's signing his name with backwards letters and he's coming out hugging teddy bears and you're heavily implying there's something wrong with him, that's just unfair.
We were supposed to laugh
at him. Just, yeah, you were supposed to laugh at him.
At him, not with him.
And then feel sorry for him. When Bischoff turned on him, and then it worked for the wider audiences, but it was just so insensitive. Like, and that's nothing against Nick Dinsmore. Nick Dinsmore is a wrestler.
He played the role really well.
Fantastic wrestler. Like, the guy is, I'm pretty sure, an accomplished amateur wrestler. Like, he can go in the ring.
SummerSlam 2005.
He just got saddled with the gimmick.
That match against Kurt Angle, where he sort of, he was Eugene, but he just put the gimmick to one side for one match. He just wrestled Angle.
Yeah.
Woo!
And that's the thing is, like, I think had they been able to do that and successfully strip those layers away, it would have worked out all right. But there's only, there is a ceiling on a gimmick like that. And it's the second that gets national recognition, it's like, what are you doing? And again, it's no slight on Dinsmore, but I have X-Pac heat with it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either.
My name's Finn Leary, and I love to fight.
So, my mum, when Finley redebuted, my mum was watching the screen. She was like, who's that old man? And I was like, it's Finley. And she was like, Finley.
To be fair to
him. And then it was like 5 seconds of silence. Is that Fit Finley? Like, he's been wrestling since I was little. Yeah.
He never looked as old as he actually is.
No, that's it. Yeah. Like, he looks,
You think he would dye that hair grey?
Yeah.
I love Finley, me.
Yeah, he's great.
But what did he do in the Attitude Era? Obviously, Attitude Era, bloody hell. We did that one yesterday. Yeah, the other day.
The Ruthless Aggression Era.
The Ruthless Aggression Era.
He used a shillelagh a lot.
The shillelagh. He got
lil bastard.
He got out of his Hornswoggle's dad towards the end. It was sort of 2005-06 when he arrived, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what he did. US title, was he in that picture? Did he win it once?
He was in the mid-card area. Was he in like any elimination chambers or anything?
Yes.
Yeah.
One, maybe. Maybe. But I think, right, he was a heel on SmackDown.
Oh, I hated him.
Yeah.
I hated him. He was very good at his job.
Like, proper very old-fashioned good at his job. Bastard. Yeah. Kick and punch and be horrible.
Yeah.
Until he turned nice with his bastard son.
He was like a schoolyard bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No disagreements there?
No disagreements there.
So next up we have Gail Kim, and if we're putting Betty Phoenix in there...
Gail Kim's got to go there,
oh,
yeah.
What a wrestler.
Another pillar that held up the division through very dark times.
Obviously someone is going to bring up the old Vince McMahon story and how Gail Kim exposed him to something that's on the internet.
Yes.
If you don't know, Google that story.
I'm sure that'll be in the comments, but
But she's one hell... People... Because I did Straight to Hell not too long ago with her and Lita. And one of the comments was like, people never realise how great she was unless they watched Impact/TNA.
Yeah.
Because she really hit her stride.
She had a proper revival and resurgence there. And like, she was able to really step into herself. And it was great.
And more so, she was just given the chance to wrestle. And show what a great wrestler she was.
Yeah.
So this is going to be controversial. Because me and you...
We know where he's going, Ross. We know where he's going.
But it's Ruthless Aggression, Sam. It's from his debut.
It's going in S. I hope at Mania they have the... they force the camera guys to be like, Goldberg, go... And then there's no security to walk him out. There's just blow-up dolls. And he's already outside of his dressing room. And they're just on each arm. And he's like walking in like this.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, not going to be security, is there?
Non-essential personnel. Let's get some blow-up dolls.
They are essential. They keep Goldberg safe backstage. They do.
Well, they keep everybody else safe from Goldberg. I think you'll find.
But he arrived with great fanfare, of course, in 2003. He had the match with The Rock. Right away. Pardon me. I'm drinking Fanta Fruit Twist and I just did a burp. Then he had Triple H grab him by his bald, meaty clackers and just rip them away. Rip them away, Sam. And then before you know it, we get to bloody WrestleMania 20. And he has the match with Goldberg. Everyone knows the both leaving.
Gone.
Right. We have to take everything
so
into account.
It's so sad that we don't get to put it in
this. It's bloody Goldberg.
It's bloody
right?
Goldberg, yeah.
But it didn't work, did it?
He's got to go in, probably.
Are we going to put him in there?
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's on the same level as Albert, like.
But what he did during that era, what could have been and what we got, it makes me so angry.
Is he worse than Billy Gunn? That's the question you're going to ask yourself.
Let's move
right
in.
There. Sorry, Billy.
Are we putting Goldberg? Because, me and you are both WCW.
What is it, my Goldberg marks, aren't
we? Like, Goldberg is the man who got me hooked on professional wrestling. I've told that story time and time again.
Watching
the VHS.
Him smash people over and over again. It was,
and it looked like it was going to be
like the hardest bloke ever.
So great with The Rock and how that started. Yeah. And then he did that bloody thing where he got lost backstage. I guess you've listened to that Bruce Pritchard podcast.
No.
Where he did the backstage. He was chasing The Rock, I think, out the arena.
Right.
And they rehearsed it and said, Bill, you do this. And you get in the car and you drive away. And apparently he just wandered the wrong way or something like that. Someone verify that story, because it's something along those lines. Goldberg
brilliant.
His arse dropped out of his pants and he forgot where he was.
He just drove home. I'm sorry, Vince, on the car phone.
So that lost him a lot of, obviously, like, you know, credence backstage. Yeah. And how do you fight your way back from that? But it was such a missed opportunity. What do you say? Well, we're making up for it now, aren't we, Sam?
Yes, we are.
The Fiend was sacrificed for nothing at all.
Yes, he was.
We had to give the belt to Goldberg so Roman wouldn't get booed when he beat the Fiend.
We shouldn't have put the belt on him in the first place. But even if we were going to take it off him this quickly, it shouldn't have been Goldberg to do it.
No.
Feed somebody else to Goldberg, not Bray.
So next up, we have the tag team tandem, it looks like, this user has made, of Booker T and Goldust.
Oof.
And while they didn't have
those promos alone deserve at least an A.
Crocodile Dundee.
What was
Crocodile
it? Could I have a sip on your Slurpee for a bite of my sausage? When he's got like the little hot dog.
We're a married couple,
They're in the 7-Eleven. Like when he's like stalking Booker T, and Booker T's like on the run. Like that stuff's great. Like loved it. Absolutely loved it.
God, we've got Goldberg on the same level as Chavo and Finlay.
He's only got himself to blame. He should have done more.
He did more than Finlay. Do we move Finlay down?
Yeah, let's put Finlay in C. He was an old man.
How'd you like me now? Here we have a man who main evented a pay-per-view against Brock Bloody Lesnar during the Ruthless Aggression era. It's Bob Sparkplug Holly.
Thurman Sparky Plug.
Nah, that's unfair.
I think he's a C.
They worked that angle.
He was a reliable
pair
of hands.
He was a hard bastard.
He was a hard bastard.
The hardest man in the world, if you ask him.
He was WWE's first attempt at a multi-sport athlete. They wanted him to be a race car driver, and he actually went and raced.
Yeah, he did.
Vince gave him the race car as a gift. He wouldn't accept it. And I think eventually, like, he said to Vince, look, I'm not just going to take it as a gift. That cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sell me it. He's like, I'll keep it. Sell me it. And Vince said, okay. And charged him, I think it was like $10 for it or something.
Oh, I bet he felt big and took off the thing.
I don't know if he still has it, but he had the original WWF stock car.
Yeah. But if you look at what he did during the Ruthless Aggression era, he started off as just being a hard man on SmackDown, made to make other people look good, then the neck injury happened, the World Championship match happened.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes is a tag team. That's all I'm remembering.
Yeah.
He was just staring there about.
It all sort of fell apart.
The old bloody gouge out his back on the ECW show. That alone deserves a C at least. Maybe even a B.
That's a meaty scar.
We can't put Bob Holly on the same level as Goldberg. Heidenreich.
Dude. Well, there was enough hype around him. There was enough hype around Heidenreich, you could classify him as a jobber and not X-Pac heat. Like, initially, anyway. Then when the bell rang, it all went wrong.
He was crap, man.
he was terrible.
Crap.
You just put him in jobber because of what he did to Michael Cole.
If you know, you know. Next up, we have Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle deserves a lot more than I think people will ever give him credit for.
He took a fantastic trash can to the head from JBL.
Oh, the one where he just launches it. And he just wipes him off his feet.
Yeah. Obviously, I think, is this after Ruthless Aggression by the time he was unveiled as the anonymous GM?
Yeah.
He didn't deserve that, did he?
This was, when we were in Vegas, he was like one of the coolest people we interviewed because he's got such a dry sense of humour. So we're just sat interviewing him and Jack's just talking and he would just keep just poking little holes and trying to rip on him. It was like proper, he's just constantly like... He just seems like a guy that's just, if you went for a drink with him, he'd keep everybody laughing all night.
I'm trying to think of what else he did, apart from being Finlay. Obviously, Mr. McMahon's son.
Yeah, Finlay's... Mr. McMahon's son, Finlay's little bastard. He was the GM. He had the... No, WLC would have come much later.
Oh, WLC was like 2013.
Much later.
I think he, you know, given the drawbacks of being a little person in the wrestling, historically what that means.
Given the fact, that usually promoters...
He's the last ever Cruiserweight champion.
He is the last ever Cruiserweight champion.
Before they brought it back, of course.
Yeah.
So there you go. Then we have Terrence, who started the Ruthless Aggression era. I'm going to put him there.
He had a complete career resurgence here.
Came back, obviously, with the N-Dub-O. Had that match against The Rock at WrestleMania X8.
Stone Cold had that wonderful match against Scott Hall.
Hey, I've got Richard Tubman to follow that, dude. what am I going to say? Obviously, Hulkamania, was no, just well, so organically still had, there, and we had to have it again.
We had The Rock versus Hogan, which is still, like, to this day, gives me chills. If you watch that match back, the crowd response as he's hulking up.
Could you imagine, right? That match at WrestleMania 36.
Oh!
The Rock.
Oh, that would be such a different match.
They wouldn't be able to listen to the crowd and do the audible. You know, Rock would start working heelishly and Hogan the other way. Oh, that would be fascinating.
But, like, and then they had the Mr. America stuff, which is some of my favourite ever
Hulk Hogan
stuff.
You've missed out his Undisputed Championship reign. He beat Triple H at Backlash.
He did. He was maybe a bit old for that. But the Mr. America stuff was great.
Then he had the worst ever chokeslam in the history of Undertaker's career.
Oh, when he gently places him on his spine.
At Judgment Day.
Yeah. It is literally just, isn't it? It doesn't even get any height, just...
But then as you say on SmackDown, the Mr. America stuff came around, which, you know, I never understood. It was obviously Hogan.
It was obviously Hogan. The whole idea was that Vince knew it was Hogan. Vince knew everybody else knew it was Hogan, but everybody else pretended with Mr. America that he wasn't Hogan. And so Vince did all the stuff like lie detectors, and he would do all of this stuff in order to be like, look, I'm going to get rid of this nonsense once and for all.
So silly.
And then they did the Mr. America like lie detector test and like the crowd, and there was like, you know, he sat Vince in the chair and he's like, oh, you a jackass. And Vince is like, no. And like comes back that he's lying and all this stuff.
And then we get to sort of 2004-05. The most memorable thing is obviously that match against Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam 2005.
Yeah.
Dive, duck, dip, dive and dodge.
Well, that's what you get for politicking for against lying. The ultimate politicker.
For lying to Shawn. Hi, Shawn.
That's a first.
Turn my bloody phone. Sorry, everybody, but he said to Shawn Michaels, "I pal, if you let me win, I'll let you win back." And then when push came to shove, my back's a bit sore. I can't let you win. So Shawn Michaels made a mockery of him.
We'll do it on the house show next Wednesday.
So there we have Big Terry. Next up, we have the Hurricane.
And
if we're putting Goldust and Booker T up there,
yeah, Hurricane belongs in A. Some of the most entertaining stuff. Him and The Rock backwards and forwards was great. Oh.
The superheroes in training, when you put the first letters of those.
Oh, it spells a naughty word.
It does. And then we have Jacqueline, who is a confusing one because she was Cruiserweight Champion, breaking all kinds of boundaries, barriers, whatever the word you want to use there. But that's all I can remember. In terms of Ruthless Aggression.
I can't remember much in the Ruthless Aggression era with her.
She was definitely on Raw for a period at the start. I remember that much. But then she was on SmackDown with the Cruiserweight title.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that's not really... Why is it not talked about these days? You'd think they'd be...
Because they change their own lineage and history every single week.
But you think something like that, they'd be pushing it to the...
Yeah, I don't know.
With the evolution and revolution and whatnot.
Maybe it's they don't want to bring up the old lineage of the belt because it'd be too confusing for like the fact there's a new belt with new lineage.
We're stupid wrestling fans. Yeah.
I think I'd say C tops.
I think C as well.
I think
she was always a great wrestler, Jacqueline.
Yeah.
But sometimes it was just a bit like there.
I think she was definitely more pronounced in the late Attitude era than the Ruthless Aggression era.
So next up, we have Jamie Noble and Nydia. We talked about them briefly earlier.
Hated them at the time, but as I've gone back, I've realised how good their work was.
They were fantastic, weren't they?
Yeah.
Do you reckon that's a B?
I reckon they're a B.
Is Goldberg... We're going to get so much pelters for this. Goldberg on the same level as Jamie Noble and Nydia. But it's what they did during that era. And
it's
Goldberg
what they did during the era.
Years.
It's not just who's your favourite wrestler.
Goldberg's in there for years.
That's what we've got to keep in the mind.
Goldberg was there for a year.
Yeah. So that's fine. We're fine.
We're going to be fine.
We're fine.
So next up we have Jazz, who she was... What a wrestler.
Yeah. Just incredible.
Look at her now with her bald head and how intimidating that is.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Anyway, she's married to Rodney Mack as well.
Really?
Aye. I'm sure I read that somewhere. I might be telling pork pies. Who knows? But yeah... She was the antipathis. The antipathis of what Trish Stratus. Antithesis, I know. I'm just saying it funny. She was the opposite.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What Lita and Trish was, and it worked.
Yeah,
WrestleMania,
no nonsense, straightforward. Let's do it.
And the part I really liked when she was with Teddy Long, there was just something about the way they looked together that worked for me. It was proper throwback stuff.
Yeah.
Then we have Jeffrey Hardy, who was here, there, and everywhere during the Attitude Era. Why do I keep saying that? I did that yesterday, man.
He was here, there, and everywhere during the Attitude Era. You weren't wrong. But he sort of cast off to the winds during the Ruthless Aggression Era.
He was in TNA for a bit. He was in New Japan for a bit.
Yeah.
A hiccup, some might say. But he also had that. The obvious standout for me, I know, is it in the Ruthless Aggression when he won the title end of 2008, or is that the PG? Pardon me, I think it's the PG.
I think that's probably, if it's the PG, that's just the very beginning of it.
So it was the end of 2008.
There's always like a slight bleed between eras, isn't there?
Yeah.
Until one of them comes out and goes, this is the reality era! Which means there is no characters, and everybody's going to be a hard wrestler! Which is where we are today.
Yeah. Yeah. But, he started off as part of the Hardys, I think, we're still thinking, 2002, weren't they? Despite feuding a bit earlier on.
Yeah.
2002, I think, was the match with The Undertaker. Go on, kid, make yourself famous.
Oh, yeah. JR's calling in that is unbelievable.
I've just undersold JR's call a bit there. Yeah. I'm going to like you. 03. Can't remember a thing he did. 04, I think he might have been gone. 05.
Ah. And then he comes back and it's the beginning of the meteoric rise of Jeff Hardy's solo star.
Him and Matt were a tag team again because they had that match at December to Dismember 2006 against Eminem. But it's a weird one for Jeff because that bloody match against... the stuff with Brock Lesnar right at the start of the Ruthless Aggression era where Paul Heyman would go looking through Lita's suitcase and whap out her lingerie and do creepy things with on the stage. Where would we put Jeff?
I reckon at least B.
I reckon... Because he would hit the heights.
Bottom of B.
He would hit the heights after, wouldn't he?
So he'd go on to be a lot bigger than he was at the time. Cena.
It's the Thuganomics.
Yeah, Thuganomics, yes, Cena, super class.
Is actual, you know, John E. John Cena in there as well?
Probably not.
Who knows? But Doctor of Thuganomics was fantastic. Go back and watch WrestleMania 20 and the match he had with The Big Show and the reaction from the New York crowd. Obviously, the New York crowd, famously one of the most famous, one of the hardest to please in the wrestling world, but they were fully behind the Doctor of Thuganomics, John Cena. The rapping, it speaks for itself. It was fantastic stuff. I don't care what you say. So who we got next? That's Jomo.
Jomo.
Johnny Nitro, which is funny, right? Because he was Eric Bischoff's assistant, right? And Eric Bischoff used to work for a company. And that company had a show called Nitro. And he was called Johnny Nitro. Where are you putting him, Sam?
So, I was never the biggest John Morrison fan.
I hate Starship Pain, me.
I'm
a massive fan of Jomo, but I hate Starship Pain.
I was so sad when he redebuted with that theme. I hate his theme.
Do you?
I hate it.
Now listen, this
he's called John Morrison, right? So like they basically looked at him and went, you look like Jim Morrison from The Doors. Can you wear a big fur coat, act like a rock star and have long hair? Which Jim Morrison never really did. He just got drunk and was an absolute mess. But they sort of did all that, and then they just banged some random rock track on it that sounds a bit 60-ish.
Oh, that opening note, though. Whoa!
No, it just sounds like somebody's just sat down on a guitar.
Now, listen,
They certainly made the link.
But the thing is, you, in terms of an in-ring competitor, John Morrison's unbelievable. Almost unparalleled.
I hated Eminem in the way you were supposed to hate them.
Yeah.
They were paparazzi.
They did their job people. Very well.
Yeah. Underrated tag team in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, what's his face? The other guy, Joey Mercury, got his face caved in.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Oh,
but Jumbo, ECW champion towards the end of the Ruthless Aggression. And obviously, we're going to have great success on the main roster. It's at least a B, isn't it? Or maybe a top of C?
I'm saying top of B.
Top of B?
Well, yeah.
Top of B. Maybe a C? Maybe top of C?
Above Charlie Haas.
Above Charlie Haas. Are we ranking them inside the rank?
I don't know, but I just didn't. It didn't sit right with me that Charlie Haas was ahead of him.
So next up we have Kane, and I tell you what, as Kane being my favourite wrestler, the 97 to 2001 version, of course, when he took the mask off, that period afterwards was unbelievable. When he was zapping Shane McMahon's bollocks,
when he
falling into pits
of
fire,
I'll never forget.
Tombstone and Linda.
I will never forget when he took the mask off. And it's just like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And he takes it off. And he's like shaved part of his hair away. And he's got all the eye makeup. And he's like, just turns. And it's like, no, this is it. It's all falling apart. It was just.
It does make you wonder sometimes. Like, imagine if he'd still had the mask on now. And they were able to keep it secret. Because I don't know about you, up until that point, and the internet wasn't what it is today, obviously.
There was a single grainy picture of Kane from the side.
At SummerSlam
before I knew he was Isaac Yankem, that I was like...
Yeah. You didn't know what he looked like.
Yeah.
There was that one picture when The Undertaker takes his mask off at SummerSlam 2000 and someone in the crowd managed to get his... Because he's bleeding as well, which distorts it all the more. But it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Imagine... It would have been impossible, I guess, but, you know, we can live in a dream, can't we? But Kane...
S-class all day.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Oh, really? Bottom of A.
That initial bit when he took the mask off his side, it's very meh. It's very meh. It's very, very... We had the fake Kane turn up. That was bollocks.
Oh, I forgot about
we had the tag
Kane.
Team with the Big Show, which wasn't as bad as it was when the bloody...
It was such a wig. Oh,
Yes. Then we had... He was in the tag team with
You're
RVD.
Right. You're right.
You take that, you know, maybe 6 months after he takes the mask off away, it's very...
It's, yeah.
But that was so good, though.
He's an A. He's an A. You can live with that.
Dun, 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 dun,
X-Pac Heat.
Dun, 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 dun. That's where I'm putting Kevin Nash.
In the duh.
In the duh for his theme. No, he turned up and he was feuding with Triple H. Well, he was in the NWO, obviously, to begin with, but I think that sort of reached its end by the time the Ruthless Aggression really kicked off.
These were the last of the great Nash matches, and there weren't many
Then
of
he had the feud with Triple H, and then I'm struggling.
There's not a lot. That's about it.
Yeah. I think the feud with Triple H, I think they say in the Ruthless Aggression documentary, was crucial because Batista just got... I think it was that match where Batista and Orton both got injured.
Yeah.
And then that Kevin Nash return and gave Triple H something to do and gave those two time to recover. So I guess it was important.
Yeah.
WCW Kevin Nash was a lot better.
A lot better.
Mordecai.
X-Pac Heat.
He was going to be the fake Undertaker.
This is the thing that I always love this. When wrestling fans online defend Mordecai. Where it's like, but he was going to be the anti-Undertaker. Look at him.
He was.
Yeah, I know he was, but look at him. But he had his own symbol. Look at him. But he's... Look at him.
He's an
He's got
albino
bleached
rabbit.
Blonde hair, and he's dyed his bloody eyebrows blonde. Like, no. And he's coming out with what looks like five sticks sellotaped together and spray painted silver. Like, he's got from, like, the local market on a Sunday. Like, nah. This is... Like, I remember seeing this and just being like, this is a joke.
I was never a fan. But it's interesting. So I remember listening to Colt Cabana's podcast, and I think Kevin Thorne was on there. And he said he was going to have a WrestleMania match against The Undertaker, but he got arrested just before the program was meant to be starting. And obviously Vince
It's funny because all I remember is the program, the promos with Mordecai, nothing else, because it sucked.
What was it? Like in the church sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then Vince McMahon lost all faith in him because obviously you can't have a main event guy who's going to get arrested.
You can't have a main event guy looking like that either.
Imagine, right, being Kevin Thorne and knowing everything about wrestling history. Let's just say he does. And he gets arrested and Vince McMahon goes, well, I can't trust you, pal. How many main eventers have been arrested down the years?
And all Vince McMahon stood by. Every single one.
Oh, I feel sorry for Kevin Thorne. I think I'll just guess them on Mordecai there and not obviously Kevin Thorne.
Yeah, not
vampire.
On Kevin Thorne, because Kevin Thorne was a lot better.
Yeah.
Mordecai's a gimmick.
Still crap, Kevin Thorne, wasn't it?
It wasn't as bad as Mordecai.
He was a bloody vampire because they were on sci-fi.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that.
And next up, we have the great Khali.
He gets S because he was in Very Wrestling Christmas.
Pre-Punjabi Playboy. This is when the great Khali... And I want you to sit down for this, Sam, even though you already are. Just make sure you sat down properly. He pinned The Undertaker by putting his boot on The Undertaker's chest.
I love this.
What?
When I was, like, much younger, I was like, what is this?
Like, I remember when he debuted.
I liked it because, like, not because, like, I liked it. I liked it because it was like, where are they going with this? Like, obviously, the guy's huge. He's very intimidating. But can he go? You go back through New Japan World,
what was
he
called in
go.
New Japan? Giant something, wasn't it?
Giant... It wasn't Giant Singh, was it?
Was it Giant Singh? That rings
it might
a bell.
Be Giant Singh.
Let us know.
There's the whole thing where he's just leaping over the top rope and springboarding and doing all this stuff in New Japan. Gets to WWE. Whoop!
Hey, them chicken legs he had.
Yeah.
You ever seen him wear a pair of shorts?
Yeah.
It's like, imagine us two, right? Us two fatistas.
Yes.
With a pair of cocktail sticks for legs.
Yeah, that's about correct.
Anyway, we're not really putting them there, are we?
No. I think he belongs in the bottom of D. Yeah.
It's that sight of him pinning Undertaker. I mean, when he turned up and he cut that initial promo on the SmackDown, I remember watching it on Sky Sports on Friday night.
I was like, what's going on?
That he terrified me. Because you didn't understand a word he was saying. And it was like terrifying.
Just shouting.
Like he was a monster.
Yeah.
Then we just don't need to say anything, do we? Wrestling machine.
The wrestling machine, Kurt Angle goes in S. Lance Storm also goes in S because he's really good.
Boring.
He wanted those chants.
Boring.
He worked hard to get those chants.
Stone Cold calling him boring while he's wrestling a wrestling match.
Yeah.
Felt sorry for him, me. But what do you... Lance Storm, man, it was WCW, the triple champion and all that malarkey. That was the peak.
Yeah,
maybe if you're not an ECW fan, I guess.
Yeah, his ECW, WCW stuff. By the time he came over this era, was very much
un-Americans.
Wrapping up the un-Americans. Yeah,
he was in the Continental Champion as well, obviously, but like un-Americans was it, wasn't it? And then when he started dancing because Austin was calling him boring.
Yeah,
well, that's not strange, but that's not it, Chief.
He's
in the Continental Champion.
I was gonna say
he won the championships anyway. Right. That's only because he obviously hit greater heights.
Yeah.
I got into WCW when he was doing that triple champion stuff, when he was under 300
pounds.
Yeah,
all stickers on the belts and stuff.
Saskatchewan heavyweight champion, all that malarkey. And the promos, I know it was always repetitive, like, can I be serious for a minute?
Yeah.
It was always good, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thoroughly consistent performer. Incredible trainer.
Kicked off the Ruthless Aggression era as part of Team Extreme, then turned into a no good
Jezebel.
You can't say that word anymore, Sam.
I'm just quoting JR.
Yeah. but I shall see Flip reversed it completely, becoming the rated R superstars. That didn't quite work, did it?
Star.
With Edge and the live sex celebrations and the outfits and whatnot. She was just
flawless.
Bloody dear, isn't it? So next up, we have the man who had my favourite theme song when I was playing SmackDown. Oh. Shut your mouth. But the beat keeps dropping. To the rhythm.
So yeah, Mark Henry. Yeah.
Seamless cut. World's Strongest Man at the start, like literally the World's Strongest Man, pulling trucks and whatnot. Then Rodney Mack and Teddy Long, that was a thing for a while, and then...
Not quite the heights we'd see with the Hall of Pain.
WWECW was when the Hall of Pain really started to get off the floor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then it became a thing with the Salmon Jacket and whatnot.
Oh, the Salmon Jacket.
But by 2008, Mark Henry, I know there's that rumour going around that you used to book him to try and get him out of that long contract he had.
Yes,
this period of time, very
try and make him do stuff he didn't want to do in order to get him to quit. That was the big rumour. But
by 2008...
You can't put him at the bottom of that class. I'd say you'd put him at the top of that class.
He wasn't a jobber, though, was he? Bloody hell.
No.
Unless what we're meaning by jobber here? This is if you're watching this person who made this to you, why'd you make it so hard?
I'd put him level with Lance Storm.
Yeah. That's fair enough. Lance did achieve more, I think. Excuse me, I need to stop drinking fizzy pop on these videos. Anyway, Matt Hardy, version
V1. V1, S-class. Just the facts, the Matt facts.
The Matt facts, what more do you need to know?
That alone, perfect.
Shannon Moon, number one MFer.
The MFers, yeah.
So next up we have Melina. Melina, have you ever seen a Melina? Semolina is a lovely pudding, isn't it?
It is a nice pudding, yeah.
So Melina was obviously the manager or the manageress. What do you call them? The valet. The
ballet. It's a bit of an outdated term.
Yeah, it is an outdated
manager.
Term.
The manager of M&M.
Jinx. Touchwood. Black Magic. Can't say a word until somebody says your name five times. This is going to be a long video. He can speak, by the way. So Melina, she did that, and then she managed Eminem, and then she wrestled a bit. She had the whoopsie at Survivor Series with her entrance, where she fell off the apron. I think C's fair. Sam Consuela Banana Hammock Driver. Sam Consuela Banana Hammock Drama Harbor. Sam Consuela Banana Hammock Driver. Sam Consuela Banana Driver. Sam Driver.
There we go.
Get it.
Right, Jesus. Yeah, I think that's about right.
Mexicools.
Mexicools,
Bloody racist stereotype.
Jobbers. Not the guys involved. The guys involved aren't jobbers. They're just this whole
not super
table,
crazy.
You know.
Why would they? I'm not going to even ask why. Why were they on lawnmowers?
You know why. Racist stereotypes.
Now then, this is because obviously
this is going to be contentious.
Between the years of 2002 and 2008, we had the feud with Randy Orton, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
We had the stuff with the Rock and Sock Connection getting back together.
Yeah.
That was fantastic at WrestleMania 20. What else, Sam?
We had Commissioner beforehand, which I loved.
That was before 2002.
We had the stuff with Edge coming.
Edge, yes.
The flaming table and
the
everything.
The flaming table, yeah. That was another good thing. The promo he cut, I think it was at the second one night stand, where he's like, and it sounded like he was speaking about Paul Heyman. I mean, he's like, this visionary, this person of extreme, Stephanie McMahon. Fantastic.
Out she comes.
But he did do, you know, obviously.
Inventor of both extreme wrestling and women's wrestling.
His best days were behind him. Can we put him in ST? Because when he did stuff, it was amazing, wasn't it? Or just did it happen not enough?
I think we put him top of A.
Top of A. He was, what, that bloody match against Orton at Backlash, amazing. Was it Backlash?
Yeah, I think so.
Mickie James, she's up there with Betty Phoenix.
Yes, absolutely. Another name that just carried that division through pretty dark times.
Yeah, and she obviously, the future had to kick off things with Trish Stratus. Speaks for itself. I love Molly Holly.
Yeah, I think
she's
Molly
on the same
Holly,
level as Beth Ann.
Wildly underrated.
Yeah. Fantastic wrestling.
Wildly
I hated
underrated.
That. Like when she was 2004 came around, and I don't know if this is right, but people used to be like taking the piss out of her fat ass and stuff like that.
Hurricane and Mighty Molly was just great, and then like she was able to get a little bit more serious, and then you saw how good a worker she was. She was again one of the pillars that held up the division during pretty dire times.
And she shaved her head for the good of the company. She wasn't going to get booked on WrestleMania 20. She was like, Vince, what can I do?
I will shave my head.
Yeah, I'll shave my head. All credit to her.
Mr. Kennedy.
I thought you were going to call for a mic. I have to run around and try and find one for you.
Now, Mr. Kennedy.
I can hand you that little, like, dust buster. You can look.
I might empty on me. I'm a bit scared. What could have been with Mr. Kennedy? It looked like he was getting rocket strapped, brother, as Edge and Christian like to say. But then something happened. He got injured and then something else happened.
He was supposed to be Vince McMahon's son. Mm-hmm. That was the ultimate sort of turnaround, which is why he was Mr. Kennedy, because Vincent Kennedy McMahon. So Mr. Kennedy when he's Ken Anderson. So there was that. I can't remember the exact reason. There was something happened.
It was in the building.
It was in the unfortunate fallout surrounding the Benoit tragedy, wasn't it?
When everyone got suspended.
When everybody got suspended because of wellness policy violations. I'm sure it might have been something to do with that. Mr. Kennedy had to sort of take time away from the company, and then this whole storyline got derailed because of it. And then we wound up with Hornswoggle as Mr. McMahon's son.
Yeah,
and it's a shame because the charisma on the guy is just
he was Mr.
off
Money.
The charts.
He was Mr. Money in the Bank, wasn't he? Then he lost it.
Way he would just command the microphone and it would always fall right into his hands. It was like, oh.
B,
or A? It's A or B.
If it's B, it's got to be a lot higher in the B bracket.
Oh, we're not ranking them.
We're not ranking them like that, but you'll put them in B. Put them in
B. Put them higher than Goldberg. Why the hell not? Just to rile them up a bit more. But remember, it's what they did during this time.
Yeah.
And next up, we have a man who I feel horribly sorry for.
Yes, me too.
Mohamed Hassan. He didn't ask for that gimmick.
Is it Mark Kamani, his name, or Mark Kapani, his name? He's
a teacher, wasn't he?
He's a teacher in New York. I think he's now a headmaster at a school in New York. He's of Italian origin, and he was asked to play the character Mohamed Hassan.
And obviously, he played off the stereotypes that, you know,
that were going around during the 2003 invasion of Iraq and the ensuing war.
But the promos, they were so initially, they were very clever with it, because what he was saying
is, I just because I'm an Arab American doesn't mean I am that person. And then they turned him into that person.
Then he had a group of terrorists come and attack the Undertaker.
They weren't called terrorists, but
they were, Sam.
Yes,
they had piano wire.
They were balaclavas and pallet piano wire, and they carried Undertaker out like, it was so uncomfortable. He was eventually taken off television because of the 7/7 killings in London. And then
Still aired it. The SmackDown did, because there was a SmackDown. It was a Friday, wasn't it? Or was it a Thursday? And they aired the SmackDown.
It was the episode where the Undertaker got choked out with piano wire, and that was the same day or the day
after.
The day after the 7/7 bombings. I think it was the day after. And WWE still maintains to this day that they didn't have time to edit, or they did make an edit, but the TV station played the wrong tape, and that the unedited version went out.
Taken that from Brucey P?
Yes, and then following the media fallout, he sort of booked to lose, and then Undertaker last rides him off the stage.
Through the stage.
And he's dead. That's it.
Killed him off.
Gone.
What a shame. MVP.
Underrated.
I used to hate the bloody. I never understood the bloody tunnel. As fantastic as I look back on
everything,
it now,
everything.
The attire used to wind
I'm
me up
gonna
to no.
A
or B.
I reckon he's A.
The feud with Matt Hardy was obviously fun stuff. He got set on fire. He's back by Kane.
Yeah.
How did they do? Well, I was in that stuff that Kane
skin grafted.
He just riled you up, didn't he, in the best possible way. And he is an entertaining guy.
Yeah.
One of my favourite wrestling facts to this day remains that he is the first ever IWGP Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, first ever IWGP Intercontinental Champion. And I believe he is like a pretty inspiring story as well. He went from like a life of crime to turn his whole life around and becoming a major deal WWE superstar. Like, he's just straight up, seems to be just a great guy. Mm. It was a shame we never got to see more of him on Raw 25. Apparently there were more segments planned with him because he was backstage in the card game segment, but it all turned out to be
nothing. He's back now, and he's gonna do well in that manager role. Because he can talk. He's just a very entertaining guy. Yeah. So then we have Paul London, and I love Paul London,
There's
a ceiling on this one, because he was in the tag team.
There's not really a lot that he was able to achieve, so I think he's limited to, unfortunately.
C. Even though him and Kendrick were absolutely fantastic together. Yeah. Obviously, people remember that early
Spanky.
Nation.
Spanky.
Spank my monkey. What the hell am I saying? Anyway, people remember the elimination by Snitsky at the, was it 2005 or 6?
He was the baby that Snitsky kicked, right?
Just in case you're confused at home, he was the guy that Snitsky chokeslammed, clotheslined off the apron, and did the bloody flip.
Turned him inside out.
Flippity day.
Next up.
And he was obviously remembered for laughing during the Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah, that was it. That was the end of days for Mr. Paul.
You don't laugh when Vince McMahon's on his way to getting blown up. Now, this might be controversial for some, but this was Legend Killer era. And Legend Killer's the best Randy Orton, apart from the Randy Orton.
I don't think there's any way you could put any era of Randy other than S. He's
2014 to 20 Orton belongs in the bin, if the bin was there. Oh, boring bastard.
Yeah, but like thoroughly consistent.
But consistently boring, Sam.
It's not his fault he's not getting the stories.
No, it's not the stories, it's the headlock. Headlock. But when he's being a psychotic bastard.
The Legend Killer is unbelievably
good. I love the Legend
Unbelievably good.
And then this was sort of, by the end of the Ruthless Aggression era, I keep wanting to call it Attitude Era.
Yeah.
I did that one the other day.
Ratitude
Era. Ratatouille Connor from The Ascension. He was sort of going towards the 2009 really psychotic. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Coming into your house. Well, no, Triple H came into his house. You know what I mean. Anyway, that was fantastic. Then we have
the man who could never lose. Where, now obviously, if we're looking at this in the realms of kayfabe, Triple H, during this time, was the greatest ever champion.
Yes, this is what is referred to as the Reign of Terror this time, or at least a great deal of this time was. And for a while, Triple H in this period was my favourite wrestler. Then it started getting a bit boring. Then it started getting more boring. And in the middle of that, you had the Booker T situation. You had
Goldberg.
You had Evolution, which was great.
And Evolution was great, yeah.
Like, there was just so many little threads that were and weren't
RVD.
Good. Yeah.
Orton, after beating Benoit at SummerSlam, I think the next month, he lost it back to Triple H.
Yeah.
It was just too much, man. Too much. So where are we putting him? Because you can't deny the work he did. It was just the booking.
His work is always S-class.
Yeah, but it's the booking. I was not a fan of the Reign of Terror. Not a fan at all. We've got to wait. Oh.
Can you imagine if I let go of that there?
That was filthy.
The internet just like.
I think we do have to put an asterisk. And I think A, since, you know, asterisk starts with A.
Yes.
That was terrible. That.
Yeah.
But I think just because people at home might disagree, but the booking was just too much. But obviously, 2006 rolls around. DX are back. Vince McMahon. And
what
that word
time.
We can no longer say. That begins with a C and ends with a K.
Oh.
It also means Willie.
Yeah.
And a animal. An animal.
An animal.
I know English, me. Rey Mysterious.
Ronald Mysterious.
Top.
Yeah, top.
People might say, Eddie's death
the
and all
SmackDown
that malarkey.
The SmackDown 6 belong in that section. Like, without any argument.
Where do you stand on that Eddie's death malarkey?
What do you mean?
How he won the 2006 Rumble afterwards. And it was
It should have been Chavo. I think we could have really made Chavo out of that. But at the same time, it's a situation where, you know, it's... You can't really plan for it. It was so out of left field, and Ray was so linked to Eddie. Historically, I think it made sense.
I personally thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Just carrying on the legacy and memory of Eddie. Well, I thought it was nice, me.
Yeah.
Because I read it online all the time that people used to, they're capitalising on it.
Yeah, I think there was maybe a little bit of capitalisation, but I don't know, like, it's part of it, part of the industry, isn't it? It's one of those weird areas where it's not entirely comfortable, but sometimes the companies will do it.
And obviously, you know, it was more than that. 2002, he arrives in the company with that theme. Who's that jumping out the sky? R.E.Y. Mysterious. I'm a bus.
The sparks and the little...
The match with Kurt Angle at SummerSlam is my favourite under 10-minute match, I always say. It was a fantastic match. He rolled through to 2003 and 4. What was he doing? What the hell was he doing around this time, 2003 and 2004?
I was just happy to have him back in the mask.
Yeah. Yes, obviously.
Yeah.
We know what he looks like without a mask on because we watched WCW. Filthy animals.
You seen him getting booed before he went to WWE, putting his mask back on in Mexico.
Mm.
Turns up at an indie show and gets booed, like, properly.
It's sacrilege there.
Yeah.
Taking your mask off. So next up, right, we have a man who, you know, we've got the SmackDown 6. If there was a SmackDown 7, this would be the 7th man.
I think it's going to be controversial where I want to put him.
Rhino. Where?
Right up my... A. I think Rhino belongs in...
Why?
A. I don't know. I just think that Rhino, for me, I always felt he was underappreciated. I think he could carry a match. He never really had a standout storyline. He never really had a standout moment in my mind that I can pinpoint and go, that's proof of Rhino's time in WWE as being like a solid, solid main event player. But I think he's got to be A or B. In my mind,
I think B more, just because, as you say, he didn't really do that much. He was always good.
Yeah.
But the storyline was never there for him, was it?
Yeah, it just sort of, there never seemed to be something right for him.
Yeah, I think that Chris Jericho's podcast recently, he was saying that they wanted to call him something else and obviously trademarked the name, and he was like, Nena. Nena.
It's going to be Rhino.
And you've got to admit, they obviously gave him the Y instead of the I.
Yeah.
You've got to think that when stuff like that happens, it puts Vince McMahon with a bit of doubt.
Yeah.
And that probably hampered him in the long run. Ric Flair!
The S-class,
famous,
isn't it?
Famous stories are there about him losing his confidence, and then he got aligned with Triple H, and Triple H gave him his confidence back because Triple H is the Princess Diana of professional wrestling.
Any arguments?
Nah.
S-class.
Bloody Ric Flair. He was always... That was the thing. When I was young, living through the Ruthless Aggression era, I used to not like watching Ric Flair matches because I never got that humour that he does. But when you watch his matches back during this era now that were grown up and very sensible men...
And we'll get the sex jokes in that.
Yeah, it's all just good stuff. Rikishi.
This tag team was Scotty Too Hotty, wasn't it?
Just him and Scotty, no Grandmaster Sexy.
This is after he's hit Austin with the car, right?
Oh, miles after.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, yeah, this is probably just too cool.
Grandmaster Sexy wasn't there by the time Ruthless... It was on SmackDown. I think it was just him and Scotty, wasn't it? And Rikishi was just there on SmackDown. It's... For what he did 2002 onwards, I think C's the absolute limit we can go here. I can't remember what else he did. Luck and fly today. What a shame. I know Rob Van Dam will say in interviews and whatnot, well, they gave me the title, man, I achieved a hell of a lot. And he was the one to piss it away when him and Sabu got caught with all of that sweet Mary Jane, that massive bifters, all the ganja in the world. And they took the titles away from him in the... Oh, God.
Was it just weed? I thought if it was just weed, then it would have been a lot less harsh. I thought there was...
I don't want to say it was anymore, just in case it wasn't.
But... I'm amazed. If it was just weed, I'm surprised that it cost him this much. But like it's especially looking at him, it's Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
But like, and knowing anything about Rob, it's Rob Van Dam. The guy is made of weed. But it's one of those big what ifs. Like RVD was always one of my favorite in-ring performers.
When we were growing up, I'd watch
any of his matches.
August 2002, I was 10, so I was the prime age for RVD to be my favourite wrestler. Yeah. And he was during that period.
Athletic, charismatic, like, just everything. He was the complete package.
What do you need to say? He was the whole effing show.
Hey.
Sabu.
Well, his name begins with S, so you know where he's going.
D.
Unfortunately, yes.
It was just one ECW, well, the one-night stand. Show obviously turned into WWE CW, and that's when Sabu came back into the fold, and it was nothing like the ECW Sabu.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I love Sabu. As a kid who would get to watch occasional ECW shows, I loved Sabu. I thought he was like the toughest guy. He was like the scariest, like sort of like
we used to
violent.
Strapped with bloody board and straight jackets and whatnot.
You'd hear all the stories about him like getting his arm slit open and taping it shut mid match, and like that guy's tough. Like I always respected and feared and loved Sabu when I was like, a young wrestling fan, but when you look back on it, he doesn't work in the WWE system.
Nah.
Like, he still gets to pull off his signature spots and all this stuff, but there's very much a ceiling on what they would ever do with him because it just doesn't line up with their idea of wrestling.
Tell you what my biggest memory was. Was it a series of matches or maybe just one? What he had against John Cena? Sabu versus John Cena?
Yeah.
That is a match that happened at least once.
So do you say C?
I'd say C, because he was still doing his thing, wasn't he? Then we got Big Papa Pump.
Nothing finer than Scotty Steiner getting the S-Class. That weightlifting competition with Triple H.
That did not for me. I don't know about... Did you like looking at men? You were rubbing your legs and going, ooh, look at the muscles.
Absolutely. Holler if you hear me.
But I... The feud with Triple H and the endless bloody string of matches they had where Steiner would botch all the way through them. He fell off the apron attacking Test and whatnot. I guess you had the feud with Test and Stacy Keibler. But it wasn't WCW Scott Steiner. It wasn't TNA Scott Steiner.
He's the epitome. His WWE runs like the epitome of below average.
Yeah.
So he's a D. I'm going to sit him in D.
That's fair enough. Because it's Scott Steiner. He still was entertaining, wasn't he?
Nothing finer.
So then we've got what has to be one of the biggest missed opportunities in professional wrestling history. Sam, it's Sean O'Hare. Why was he not more?
He had the gimmick, he had the look, he had the placement and everything. It just never fell into place. He had all of the individual cards. He just never, ever got to show his hand.
The Devil's Advocate stuff, the vignettes themselves was amazing, but never really went anywhere on TV. No. He was with Roddy Piper for a bit. So I think the limit has got to be a D.
I think D.
Maybe even lower.
Yeah, put him top of jobber.
Top of jobber. He's top jobber. Sean O'Hare, what a sad state of affairs. When you realise, everybody, here's a big claim. He's got a better F5 than Brock Lesnar.
That is a big shout.
I just dabbed. I'm a terrible human being. But he does a spin and everything. It's fantastic. Yeah. Here comes the money!
His best days were behind him by this point, surely.
No, they were in front of him.
He'd gone off the Titantron by this point.
His best days were in 2018, Sam, when he beat Roman Reigns in the soaring heat of... Was that 2019? When he beat Roman
Became
Reigns...
Became the best in the world.
In the soaring heat of Saudi Arabia. Shane McMahon was fantastic during this year because my main issue with Shane McMahon in this most recent run is the fact that he somehow became one of the best professional wrestlers WWE had when for his entire first decade in the company, if you want to say that, until he buggered off in 2009, he was part-time and he did the stunts and whatnot, but he was never beaten many people, was he? Part-time, not one of the best.
Well, he just went to wrestling school. His dad owns a great wrestling school called the WWE Performance Center, right? Don't know if you've heard of it. There's some shows emanating from it soon that are going to be pretty big. But, he went to training schools and that. And just got better.
Not a fight. What do you say? 2002, I don't think he was doing much in 2002, 2003. He was doing the stuff with Kane towards the end of the year. 2004.
He can always be relied upon.
No, Sam, I'm going to tell you something now that's going to make you put him back in S.
Right.
Those promo packages or vignettes, whatever, with his dad in church. In that feud with God.
Yeah, all done.
Fantastic professional wrestling. Unbelievable scenes. Then we have Shawn Michaels. Don't we need to say
much? No, S-class Shawn Michaels.
Much about him. He put the S in Shawn.
He put the S in. Should have stayed retired.
Shelton Benjamin's a funny one. Started off with Charlie Haas in the world's greatest tag team.
Yeah.
Then got the big old singles push for a little tiny bit when he was getting super kicked by Shawn Michaels on Raw and whatnot. Then Mama Benjamin came along. Then the gold standard.
Then it started to fall apart, yeah.
B. Missed.
Massive missed opportunity.
Where did Billy Kidman? Where was he?
Billy Kidman.
That was right, wasn't it? Billy was in there. It was just the charisma thing, wasn't it? Cutting promos and whatnot. But then you just ask the question. Like, Jake Hager in AEW today, play up to his strength if he can't do a promo. If he can't do a promo, don't make him do a promo.
French cries. It's a joke. It's a funny. It's a joke.
Snitsky.
Kicked a baby. X-Pac heat.
He wasn't that bad. The feud with Kane was entertaining. Tell me it wasn't entertaining. The dedication that man had when he shaved his head and let his teeth rot.
I
don't know what it was. I was at a soft spot for Gene Snitsky. That's stupid, Ross. Shut up.
Put him in D. Yeah.
That's fair.
That's fair. D's
Spike.
Fair. Spike is underrated.
We all know that. He was always there, wasn't he?
I think
C.
C, yeah.
When did he sort of bugger off? Was it sort of 2005?
I think so, yeah. Around
he was
then.
Always milling around, wasn't he? Obviously, when he first came on the scene in the E.
He was gone before WWE CW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aye. So there we have it. Stacey Keibler filled a role. She was never a wrestler.
Yeah, she was never really one of the pillars of the women's division at all. I
took one hell of an RKO from Randy Orton. She was Test's number one testicle. Remember that? Test fans were called testicles?
Called testicles.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't remember that at all.
That's a thing that happened. And then her Test and Scott Steiner fought over her fair hand.
I remember that. I didn't remember testicles.
Yeah, they were definitely testicles.
Shall we say D?
I think D. Stacey Keibler.
Put her right next to Scotty.
Stephanie, who got the theme, of course. I'm all grown up now and I'm listening and learning. Which has a lyric, by the way, Sam, that was like, I've earned my spot at the top or something like that.
X-Pac heat.
And this isn't even the worst Stephanie McMahon. The worst Stephanie McMahon was when like you're getting towards 2014, 15, 16, where she just cut the knackers off anyone she'd share a screen with and never get a comeuppance until...
While saying, we listen to you, we will implement your feedback.
That word I can never say, philanthropy is the bloody whatever, future of marketing. Stephanie McMahon, 2000 and whatever. So then we have Stone Cold.
S-Class.
It's Stuff with Bischoff. Yeah. I guess it's the, because obviously he retired WrestleMania XIX, that's the Roman numerals for 19, isn't it?
Yeah.
When no one knew it was coming. And then since then, it had that fantastic Survivor Series match where he was involved on one of the teams, or behalf on one of the teams, not wrestling obviously, where Shawn Michaels was bleeding like a stuck pig.
Oh.
That one.
Yeah.
Fantastic Survivor Series match. But you look at the stuff with Bischoff on Raw every Monday, they were both co-general managers.
He was the special guest referee with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. But that didn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
He wrote that thing around the quad bike around the ring.
Yeah, he did love his quad bike in this era.
But it's bloody stone cold, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tajiri.
Underrated.
Oh, of course he was. But what was he? Because when the Ruthless Aggression kicked off, I remember sort of Backlash 2002, he was Tori Wilson's boyfriend, but he was forcing Tori to wear a kimono, is that what
it's
called?
Yes, yeah, kimono.
Kimono. Is that a dragon?
Kimono is a type of dragon, yeah.
And also a type of dragon?
No, that's Komodo dragon.
Komodo dragon?
Komodo dragon kimono is like a type of traditional dress.
Didn't listen to David Attenborough's class on dragons. Anyway, Tajiri, where have you put him?
Oh, I'm thinking about B.
Try to think what he did after that. The tag team William Regal.
Just his in-ring work. His stuff with Regal was great, but his in-ring work was... Oh.
But it was after the Commissioner Regal and Tajiri relationship. This was just like two nice wrestlers being a tag team.
Yeah.
Winning the tag team championships in Japan, which is where Tajiri's from, didn't you know?
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's C.
Think C?
When I look back at Tajiri's career...
Sure you want to do C when it's going to make me have to zoom out?
Well, we can't bastardise the integrity of the tier list just because you have to zoom out.
Right, hold
brace
on.
Yourselves, everybody.
Sorry, me, who's editing this?
There we go. What a fun ride that was! But yeah, I always look back at Tajiri. Pre-Ruthless Aggression was peak for me, Tajiri.
Oh, yeah.
With him and Commissioner Regal rather
when he came in like a ball of fire, it was like, who is this guy? I've never seen him before. And he was just leveling people. It was like, I love this.
Yeah. So next up we have the number one testicle, I guess, because he's a vain man. Testicle. Yeah. Testicle.
One of my guilty pleasures. Test. I love Test.
I thought he was you can say what you want with the steroids and whatnot and how big he got and how he didn't really move as well as he did once upon a time. But 2002, Un-Americans. 2003, the feud with Steiner. 2004, I've got no bloody idea. Then we get to sort of ECW Test. And he's one of the big players. He's doing elbow drops off the top of a chamber
pot. Cut
his hair short. I always thought he was entertaining.
Bit of a test. This is a test. Test.
Banging
this
team as well. I think C. So the upper echelons are C.
I'm saying bottom of B.
You know, I like test.
All right, bottom of B for test.
Dudley's A. A class.
Dudley's are an A, yeah.
A class.
100%.
They did bugger off about 2006, was it? But it didn't come back until 2015.
There's like, was that around the time of the first Impact run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And New Japan
team
as well.
3D.
Who the hell is that? That's The Miz. That's The Miz with his hat on.
X-Pac Heat.
Yeah, this Miz was awful.
Of this era, X-Pac Heat all day.
He didn't
day.
Hit his stride. Do you remember that weird realisation everyone had like in 2014 when he was doing good heel stuff? And I was, he's quite good in.
Yeah.
But up until then,
because you'd hated him for so long that it was really hard. It was a begrudging to accept that he was doing something good.
So next up we have The Rock. And I know what you're saying. He wasn't there for too long, but I say back to you, Hollywood Rock is the best.
It's S-class. There's no even argument. There's nothing else needs to be said.
Tori Wilson. She was there for a while.
She was, I'd say, a ceiling of B. I'd say maybe C.
I don't know what you said. She was there to be...
She was more of a manager than an in-ring performer.
But she did wrestle quite a bit
She did wrestle quite a bit towards the end.
My abiding memory, being, 12 years old maybe when it happened, was the... No, I was about 11. Or maybe, about 11. Kissing Sable.
I don't even remember that.
Judgment Day, I think it was. Had a bikini competition. Taz was there in the ring.
So what are you saying?
I'm not saying much about Tori Wilson, to be honest with you. What do you say? She was a funny old one to judge, isn't she?
She'll put her in C.
I'll put her in C. She was nice. Yeah. She's a nice lady. Trish.
S-class. The absolute pinnacle of WWE's women's division through history is Trish Stratus.
It's her and Lita are head and shoulders above the rest. As is
this lad. Oh, Umaga.
Absolutely love watching Umaga
S-class.
Wrestle.
S-class.
What do you say? Watch him wrestle.
It's just not any words.
Oh, my God.
Just
he
great.
Moved
just
like a
great.
Bloody
like
tank
a
with a Ferrari engine to steal something from bloody, what's he called?
Jim Ross.
Jim Ross. What the hell? Husky Harris.
Husky Harris.
Forgot his name there. Undertaker. Speaks for itself.
Yeah, S-class.
Now, Victoria is at least on the same level as your Betty Phoenix's and Molly Holly's.
I believe so as well.
Yeah.
I think Victoria's an A.
We're rattling through these.
We are.
Vince McMahon.
His best work was behind him.
But he also did the stuff in church.
But he did do the stuff in church. I think top of A.
You're not putting Shane above Vince, not on my watch.
Oh, no, you put Shane above Vince.
I'm asking for Vince to be an S.
I know, but you put Shane in S.
Yes, because Vince belongs a higher place than S.
Whatever.
Oh, Vince McMahon was fantastic. That camera shot at WrestleMania 19 in that match against The Rock, against Hulk Hogan, where he sort of goes...
Peaks up, yeah.
He's got the blood everywhere. Yeah. Fantastic. Vince McMahon's my favourite wrestling character of all time. Vladimir Kozlov.
Legit hard man in real life.
But this was the era where he had no theme. This was the era where he was beating The Undertaker.
The thing is, it could have worked had you really, really built him, but I just don't think they were prepared to fully pull the trigger. They like, it's like they had a double-barreled shotgun and they fired one, and then they just sat on the second one going, there's never going to be a right time, and just gently placed it down, and he's there halfway through this wall going, guys,
yeah,
guys.
I think there's a massive... Because obviously he would do his better stuff after Ruthless Aggression ended, so I think it's at least the bottom three.
I reckon C.
He pinned The Undertaker.
Yeah, I think that's why he's got to get into C.
Ah, yeah, he did some things, didn't he?
He did something. He wasn't entirely terrible. S-Class William Regal.
Best William Regal was gone by the time Ruthless Aggression came around.
That is true. What was he doing in this period?
The tag team with Tajiri, not Commissioner Regal, that when they had the backstage office thing, that wasn't a thing. This was just good wrestlers. He teamed with Dave Taylor on SmackDown. He brought in Paul Burchill.
Yep. the pirate.
2002, he was sort of the hero of the brass knucks, and he was Intercontinental Champion. He did more than Tajiri, so wherever we put Tajiri, we need to put Regal higher. B. I think we'll put Rhino way too high. Or maybe he's at A. Rob Van Dam wrestled at WrestleMania X8, and he had the big illness, didn't he?
Think so.
And then the King of the Ring came 2008 towards the end of the Ruthless Aggression.
I'm putting him in A.
Start of PG. What do you say? What, William Regal?
Yeah, but still,
it wasn't the best.
The man started by wrestling tourists on a pier in Blackpool and making them tap.
Mm.
Like, that's a long way to come.
Then we have Zach Gowen.
For a kid that was thrust into the limelight after John Laurinaitis signed the wrong one-legged wrestler, it's amazing.
He was good in that one storyline he had.
Yeah.
Which is what but we can only base
it
on.
That was all he really got.
D? Because it wasn't bad in that storyline, just the fact that he didn't have any other storylines.
But the thing is, I remember rooting for him really hard, so I'm thinking bottom of C.
Bottom of C, top of D. Potato. Who the hell is that?
Finally,
JBL.
Final one. Oh, it's your boy. It's your boy. Where's he going?
It's S tier.
I was so happy you just said that.
It's S tier.
Boom. How can you even argue?
Yeah.
It's some of his best work. One of the best heels.
Yeah.
Going.
Go and watch JBL all the way through 2004.
Because he's not even acting. That's just all how the he way is. Through That's 2004. Just how he is.
The matches he had were Eddie Guerrero and John Cena and The Undertaker. The feuds. The stupid skits.
JBL is poopy.
The bloody skits he did with Godzilla. And on the Mexican border. Was it the Mexican border?
I think so, yeah.
Classic stuff, as Bruce Pritchard likes to say, Bond, but he was very
good. Did I ever tell you one of the things I've noticed whenever we've been to a show and we've seen JBL come out to do commentary? If you watch JBL's Tron, there's all these stocks and stuff, all these green arrows, and they'll come up with JBL and a big red arrow pointing down.
Because he's the heel.
Because his stock is going down.
He's a bastard. But there we have it. Let's start from the bottom and work our way up. Eugene Mordecai. Can we zoom in one, Sam, so I can see what's going on?
Oh, this is
going
to mess everything up, but I'll sort of work it out in the edit.
Oh, you don't have to go that far.
There you go.
You don't have to go that far.
It's all right, don't worry.
So we have Eugene Mordecai, Muhammad Hassan, Stephanie McMahon, even though it wasn't the worst version of her, and The Miz before he got good. X-Pac Heat, the worst of the worst. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Sean O'Hare, what could have been? The Pope, Heidenreich, and Mexicals with their horrible gimmick.
They are the jobber. Yeah.
Even though some of them aren't really jobbers.
D-class.
Then we have Steiner, what could have been? Stacey Keebler, she was nice. Billy Kidman, Bobby Lashley, boring. Candice Michelle, Chris Masters, Kevin Nash, Great Khali, Lance Storm, Mark Henry, Snitsky. No one going up or down? Based on what they did during the Ruthless Aggression era?
I think they're all fine.
I think they're all fine. Spike, yeah. Paul London. Is Spike a bit high?
Nah. Spike.
Paul London, A-Train, Big Daddy V, Billy Gunn, not the one, but the Billy and Chuck version and the version I used to fornicate with, Jamie Noble. Finley, Hardcore Holly, Jacqueline, Melina, Rikishi, Sabu, Tajiri, Tori Wilson, Vladimir Kozlov and Zach Gowan. It's, I think Tajiri needs to go up, doesn't he?
Come back. I think so, yeah.
Boo! Then we're in B class. We have Rhino, who I think is a bit high. But right. If you want them up there, Sam, I'll give it you. Jomo, Charlie Arse. Oh, Charlie Arse. It's just a nice name, isn't it? Charlie Haas.
Charlie Haas.
Big Show. Mr. Kennedy. Goldberg, because he was there for a year and it wasn't a very good year. Yeah. We know he's good. We both love Goldberg.
Yeah, just don't even at us.
Carlito, Caribbean Cool. Chavo Guerrero, Chris Jericho, Hornswoggle, Jamie and Nydia, Jeff Hardy, Shelton Benjamin, Test and Tajiri. Triple H, because the Reign of Terror was a bit too much for our palates to take. Then we have Mick Foley, Betty Phoenix, Molly Holly, Mickey James, CM Punk, because his best days came after Ruthless Aggression had ended.
Champagne.
Gail Kim.
What?
Champagne. Oh, Champagne. Booker T and Goldust, because they were a hoot. Hurricane was also a hoot. Jazz, who was not a hoot, but that was the point. Kane, mainly because of that stuff after he took his mask off, but the rest of it was meh. Which is a horrible realisation for you to go through, it sounds like.
Yeah.
MVP, the Dudley Boys, who might go up? Nah. Yeah, but yeah, it seems fine.
They sort of peaked at 17, though, hadn't they?
Yeah. That seems fine.
Yeah,
Victoria
fine.
And William Regal. And then in the S tier, we have Hulk Hogan, Kurt Angle. Oh, we've missed it.
Sorry, we've got Batista.
Batista, Booker T, Brock Lesnar, Christian. I think Christian needs to come down because that's
yes,
a piss.
Yes, he does. I'm happy that you've moved him down.
Eddie Guerrero, Legend Killer, mainly. Randy Orton, Edge for the Rated R Superstar, his true calling. Version 1, Matt Hardy. Doctor of Thugonomics, John Cena. The Return of Hulkamania. Kurt Angle, Lita, Ronald Mysterious. Ric Flair. Is Ric Flair too high?
Nah.
He might be too high. We'll move him to the bottom of the tier.
When was I'm Sorry I Love You, though?
2008. Yeah.
It's got to be an S-class, yeah.
Rob Van Dam, Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon's too bloody high, isn't he?
Yeah, you put him in there. This is what I've been bloody saying.
Where are we? Stone Cold, The Rock, Trish Stratus, Umaga. Go back and watch his matches. I love his Samoan drop.
Drop's so explosive. Oh, the height he gets on it.
Proper like, whoa.
Yeah.
Undertaker, Vince McMahon, JBL, and we spoke about Ric Flair earlier. That is,
I think you'll find it's
team.
Mr. McMahon.
Mr. McMahon, sorry.
Different people, Ross.
They are. One's got a long willy, one's got a short one. That's
exactly.
Terrence, isn't it? There we have it. The end of the Ruthless Aggression era.
10 inches.
Tier list. Tell us what you think and what you disagree with. Remember, Goldberg was there for a year and Triple H made him bollockless. Any closing thoughts, then? No? Join us next time on Tiered. We must say, this is our last day in the office.
It is. So maybe a lot of uncertainty right now.
Maybe we'll do a tier via Skype.
Yeah, we could maybe try and work out a way. There'll be a way to do
that
it.
That could
There'll
work, we
do
don't
it.
Know. We'll see you when this is all blown over. We've gone down to the Winchester for a nice pint.
Lovely.
It's all blown over. See you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.